Okay, Parshas Vayera 5780, everybody. We're dealing with the Benos Lot. And obviously, there's always problems when you read the Benos Lot. I'm going to give this as a little bit of a heads up before I start. You can't really say anything negative about the Benos Lot, except what Chazal seemed to say about them. We don't want to just go out and blast them. Lot is a different story because of what Chazal say about him. But we're going to say what we can about the Benos Lot and try to understand what happened here. We all know that the cities around Sodom were destroyed. Sodom, Amora, Adma, and Tzvoim. Tzoar was the one that remained okay, I guess. You could say that it survived at the end of the day. But even Tzoar was problematic, and we talked about that the last time. Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Lamed Aleph says the following. Vatomer Bechira Otzira, the older one said to the younger one, Avinu Zaken, our father is old, referring to Lot, the Ish Ayin Ba'aretz, Lavoa Leinu Kedarek Ha'aretz. There's no person in the ground that can be together with us as is the way of the land. So there's no one to marry us. In Lamed Beis, they say, L'chon Nashkes Avinu Yayin Ishkevayimo, come, let's drink, give wine to our father to drink. We'll be together with him. V'nichya Me'avinu Zara, and we'll have children from our father. This is a really strange thing for them to say and do. Did they really think the world was destroyed and there was nobody left? Is that really the thought process that Benos Lot had? And if it was, what made them think that? Why would they think, aside from Sodom and Amor, the cities that they were in, why would they think that the whole world was completely destroyed? And even then, to be together with their father, as if that's the way that the human race is going to survive? Did they really think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the human race to survive through Lot and his two daughters? What kind of a thought process is that? And what were the real intentions? So the Gemara Nazir, Chaf Gil Mohamed Aleph, says that they were 100% L'Shem Shamayim. They did mean it L'Shem Shamayim. They did this purely for the sake of heaven. They mamish believed the world was destroyed through a mabul of fire. There was the mabul of water before, and this is the mabul of fire, and that they were the sole survivors. But the Medrash Rabbah, in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Nun Aleph, Osir Gimel, it depends on which Medrash Rabbah you look at, says it's actually a machlokas. First is Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa says the oldest daughter had intentions L'Shem Shamayim, right? And Rabbi Simon says, no, the oldest daughter was L'Shem Znus. She had L'Shem Znus. She went into it wanting to be together with her father, and she fulfilled her evil intentions. Normally, we would always go with the Bavli over a Medrash Rabbah. If the Bavli tells us there were L'Shem Shamayim, and the Medrash Rabbah tells us that there may have been bad intentions, Rabbi Simon is telling us there might be bad intentions, we'll go with Bavli. But the Mizrahi says that Rashi leans toward the Medrash Rabbah, that Rashi is going to tell you that really these women did have somewhat bad intentions, especially the Bechira had intentions L'Shem Znus and went with that. The Gurariyeh argues, he says that's not what Rashi means over here, but the Nachlas Yaakov says there is no argument. The Medrash Rabbah is agreeing with each other. Rabbi Simon, Rechinir, Rapapa agree with each other, and it's all with the Gemara Nazir. They had intentions, L'Shem Shemayim. They mamish wanted to do this because they thought the whole world was destroyed. And yet, at the end of the day, it was Nus. They were wrong. So even though they went in with proper intentions, it ended up being L'Shem Znus. They didn't have to do so, and it ended up being a problem. The Be'er Basada says this is all Rashi's Shita. The Rashi says they were L'Shem Shemayim, but they did end up having Znus. And there was something that happened for her. But whatever their thinking was, whatever the Bechora, that older girl and the younger girl were thinking, Lot, without a question, was a very sick man. There's no question about this. Even the first night, there was something wrong. He knew that Avram Avinu had survived. He had been told by the Malach that he was being saved in the schus of Avram Avinu. There's no question in his mind, he knew that his brother-in-law Avram Avinu was still alive. That's number one. Number two, he heard from the Malachim directly that it was only these five cities that were being destroyed. That Mashchisim Anachnu Asamakom Azeh, we are destroying this place. He had no doubt that the other cities had still survived. He had no doubt that there were people just a few miles away from Sodom, Amora, Adma, and Tzvoim. So there's no question whatsoever he should have said something. When he saw what his daughters were planning, and even if he didn't know the first night, maybe you could say he didn't know the first night, but the second night, he should have said immediately, especially because Rashi says when he woke up in the morning, he realized what had happened and still got drunk the second night, says the Gemara Nazir blasts Lot, that Lot knew exactly what he was getting himself into and nonetheless went through there. And not only that, he got so drunk, we have a name for his drunkenness. Shikruso Shalot. The drunkenness of Lot is so down, so completely destroyed. It's like you have no idea what's going on. You have no clue what's happening around you. It seems Lot knew what he was getting himself into and allowed himself to be in that situation. Even if not, halakhically speaking, if you know that your wife has just passed away and your daughters are there, halakhically speaking, it may be a problem to get drunk to the point of where he had gotten drunk, where he didn't know what was up and what was down. That always might be an issue. Even though normally you'd never think that there'd be an issue of znus, of illicit relations with your daughter, that might not be an issue whatsoever. Sisters, daughters, whatever it is, you can never trust what happens when a person gets that drunk. And therefore, for that reason, he never should have been. He might seem like an ones, but it certainly does not look like he was an ones when it came down to this. Yeah, Paul.
Is that why Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed Lot to give over his daughters to the people coming?
What do you mean, to the people that were there beforehand? It's a good call, meaning the offering right. of his daughters beforehand shows that he was already, we'll do whatever you need with the right. daughters themselves. It's a very good call. No, nobody connected that, but there's a good connection that he allowed those daughters to be there. Clearly something is wrong with Lot's way of thinking. Something was wrong with there. And let's, to put it this way, maybe Lot's thinking was influenced by the fact that he had lived in Sodom for the past few years. Maybe the fact that he had been in Sodom for over 10 years now, maybe that affected his way of thinking and didn't allow him to think straight. Maybe that's what happened over here. But it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, this was 100% the wrong thing to do. The Ibn Ezra asks a simple question. He says, this is known as the Bechora, the oldest one, El Tzeira, to the youngest one. But there's a problem with that. We know Lot had five daughters. The fifth daughter, nobody knows anything about. Her name was Plautus. She's the one that was killed, right, because she gave food to guests and they smeared her with honey and put her in the ground to feed the termites. So that's one, that's Plautus, that we don't know much about her. The older two daughters we know were married. And then there's these two daughters that were engaged but not yet married. So why is she called the Bechira, the oldest one? Wouldn't you think that the other two who were already married were older than her? So why is she called the Bechira, says Ibn Ezra? He answers, an interesting way of answering it, he says there were two wives of Lot. We know the one that died by being turned into a pillar of salt. Her name was either Iris or Edis. It's where the names Iris and Edith come from. Iris or Edith, whichever one. But that's one of them. That's one wife that Lot had. That may have been an evil wife. A wife that was born in Sodom, that was born and raised in Sodom, perhaps that. Her daughters were the ones who were married off, as opposed to another wife that he had, who may have been a better wife for him, maybe a wife that Avraham Avinu himself had picked out, who had died. These two daughters were from her. Truth is, the Chidah isn't sure which are which. If these two daughters that escaped with Lot were the daughters of that wife that turned around and turned into a pillar of salt, or it's the other wife that was there before. He has his theories as to which one it could be, but either way, it could be that way. But the Ramban says the whole thing's not necessary. You don't have to worry about that. When we're dealing with the two people who are alive, somebody who's older than the other can be called a Bechira. Even though she's not the oldest one, which normally you'd think a Bechora would be, nonetheless, when referring to a younger one and the older one, it makes sense you call one the Bechira, one the Tzeira. And that's okay. You can go ahead and do that. That's going to be okay when it comes down to that. That's how the Ramban understands it over here. Rashi says the reason why they didn't wait. Wouldn't you just wait around? Like, wait a few days, see if anybody else survived? Why wouldn't the daughters of Lot just waited a little bit? They said, we can't. Avinu Zaken, says Rashi, our father is old. Either he's already lost his will to live, and if he's lost his will to live, we don't have that much time for him to be around. And the truth is, we have no idea when Lot died. It could be that Lot died right after this. It could be that Lot did not survive the cave ordeal, and that he did not live afterward, and he died at some point during the cave. But Avinu Zaken, we don't have that much time over here. If we're going to have children, it's got to be now. That's number one. Number two, they didn't know how much koach he had left. Even if he did survive, things were good with that, we have no idea how much koach he was going to have left. Is he going to be able to have children a year from now, 2 years from now? We don't know what's going to happen. That's why they took advantage as soon as possible, and they were together one night after the other, because they really had no idea how much longer Lot was going to be available for them or what they were going to do. That's how Rashi says it. The Alshich and the Be'er Mayim Chaim both say that the reason why they didn't tell their father directly what they were going to do, It's because the father may decide to only be with one of them to minimize the isser. He'll say, I don't want to be together with both of my daughters. That's an isser on both daughters. I'll be together with one daughter and try to have two children with that one daughter. So maybe Lot would say something like that. And both daughters wanted the opportunity to have this mitzvah of propagating the world, of bringing more people into the world. So because of that, they got him drunk. So it wouldn't be up to him. It would be up to them. Both of them could get their mitzvah. What they thought was a mitzvah in their eyes, that's how the Alshech says it. Now, Rashi, the Rashbam, and the Ibn Ezra say that they really thought that the world was destroyed. Again, Rashi, the Rashbam, and the Ibn Ezra all thought, they had the same thought, that the two daughters thought that they were the only people left and everybody was gone like the marble itself. They thought that all the survivors from Tsoar, remember Tsoar was the one city that wasn't overturned. They thought either, number one, the people in Tsoar didn't move out of their houses. They thought the people were dead when really they were hiding. Or they thought that the people of Tsoar had died after they left. Or the truth is, they did die. And they saw them dying, even though they weren't overturned. The city wasn't overturned, but the people still died. We learned by Parshas Korach the idea that they may have been related to Korach in some way, shape, or form. But regardless, there was this idea that we're seeing over here, that Rashi says that the Bechira was Pasach Biznos. She thought that they were the survivors, but still she was Pasach Biznos, that there's something was a little bit off. Something was a little bit off with what she was thinking and what she did over here. The Chidah says they didn't see anyone in Tsoar. That's the reason why they're worried. And the Nitziv is the one that said that the people died right after they left the city. The Ramban over here, not in contrast to Rashi, but sort of like adding on to what Rashi says, says they were too tsanua to say anything to their father directly. These women were tsanua. The daughters of Lot were tsanua girls, so they didn't ask him at all. They hoped, their hope was that one would have a boy and one would have a girl. And that way, the boy would end up marrying the girl, and everything would be perfectly fine. Obviously, that didn't happen. Both had boys. Both of them ended up having a baby boy. But they thought that that would be the best thing. Ki olam chesed yibane. The world would be built with chesed. We do say that chesed hu, by a brother marrying a sister, it's considered a chesed. We call that a misuse of kindness, misunderstanding what your job is when having a brother and sister together. But they knew they wouldn't get a second chance. They decided they were going to do it together. But there's something the Ramban brings up that everybody should know. Technically, a ben Noach is mutter to his daughter. Now, there are three people that a ben Noach is not allowed to be together with, and everyone agrees with this. A ben Noach cannot be together, cannot marry or be together with his mother, his actual mother, because that we know is his relation. We know that's true. He cannot be together with his sister from his mother, a sister that shares the same mother as him. They cannot be together. That's a second iser. And the third one is Ashes Ish. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nun Chesem Abeis, that even though we don't normally have Ashes Ish by non-Jews, there's no real Kiddushin, whatever is an Ashes Ish by non-Jews, a non-Jew is not allowed to be together with that Ashes Ish. There are three Arayas by them. Ashes Ish, sister from the mother, and the mother itself. Meaning, according to this Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's possible for a regular Ben Noach to be together with their daughter. So in theory, because obviously the answer is because we don't know if it's his daughter. It may not very well be his daughter. Everybody, I'm just going to quote this. You know why we hold that if you punch your father, you're chayav misa? Everybody knows. You punch your father, you're chayav misa, right? You punch your father and you cause him to bleed, then you're chayav misa. How do you know it's your father? Say you go to court. You go to court and you say, I don't know if it's my father. A DNA test is still going to be what? 90? We have somebody who actually knows. How many DNA tests? 98% something? 99% something? But it's not 100%. It's possible to cheat a DNA test. So if it's not 100%, how do we know that the father is actually this guy's father? How do we know that this guy's father is actually that person's father, that we would kill somebody because of it? Because again, you're going to court over it. If the guy claims it's not really my dad, how do we prove it? So the Gemara says we have a rove, possibly a chazaka. The rove is, rove be'ilos holchen achara av. You assume that most times the mother is with the father. So even if, chas v'shalom, there was a situation where the mother wasn't with the father, we assume that the children follow that father. So we assume your father is your father. It's an assumption. It's a good assumption, and it's based on a concept called rove, which is possibly a bearer, depending on how you understand the Shev Shmaitza. There's a clarity behind it, but it's only a rove. You don't have that outside of Judaism. You have that rove by Jews. It doesn't exist by non-Jews. It's not that the rove doesn't exist. It doesn't. We don't hold of the rove the same way we do, which means a father of a non-Jew is not necessarily the father of that non-Jew. He can't necessarily say, that's for sure my father. He doesn't know. There's even a shaila that's brought up, whether it's, can a non-Jew have yichus after his father? Can it be bladon ben bladon, is the way that the Gemara puts it? Is it bladon ben bladon? Because how do we know that bladon's son was actually his son? Maybe his wife was together with somebody else. Maybe that happened. That's the line that the Ramban is really getting to over here. A ben Noach can be together with his daughter. And if that's true, then there was nothing wrong with Lot being together with his two daughters. I don't want to say nothing wrong with it. It was disgusting. But nothing wrong halachically with Lot being together with his two daughters. It was disgusting, says the Ramban. Nobody had ever done so before, even by other Marishon. Other Marishon was together, not with his wife, whoever, with Chava. And then his daughters and his sons married each other. But no one had ever married their daughter before. They had married their sisters in some way, but they never married their daughters. It was considered something disgusting. But in theory, it was mutter mina Torah. We're before the Torah. We're dealing with Bnei Noach. It would have been mutter. But they didn't want to bring that up to their father. The Torah says the same thing. It may have been mutter. It may have been mutter for Lot to be together with his two daughters, but no one did it, and the nations around them made a geder about such a thing, that no one can do this or else they'll be ostracized. You can imagine if somebody did that in America, right? Even if they said, like, why? It's not necessarily, I think it is by law, isn't it? There probably is a law against it. But if somebody decided, I'm going to do this, they'd be ostracized. Just, this doesn't happen. We're not into this. Rabbeinu Bechaya says there's no question that this is all Hashem Shemayim. And remember we said before, maybe there were other thoughts, but the Rabbeinu Bechaya and the Chidah says this as well. There's no question it was Hashem Shemayim for one simple reason. Namoha Amonis and Rusa Moaviah came from this relationship. Rusa Moaviah, the wife of Boaz. Namoha Amonis, who married Shlomo HaMelech. If there was something wrong with the relationship between Lot and his two daughters beforehand, if there was something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw as disgusting, that those families should be different, if there was something wrong with it, then Shlomo HaMelech never would have married Namoha Amonis. Boaz never would have married Rus. And in addition to that, they wouldn't be the progenitors of Malchus Beis David. All of Malchus Beis David comes from them, which means Mashiach ben David comes from them. If Rusa Moaviah came in, there's something different. Now, yes, we do ask you to marry a Moavi. A male Moavi is usher. But that's not because of what happened with Lot and his two daughters. That's because Asher lo kidmu eskan belachem amayim, they didn't bring us water and bread when we needed it. That's the reason why we asked the Moavi men. Moavi women are therefore mutter. And it seems like we're not even including the issue that Lot and his two daughters said. So says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, that is a raya beyond any proof that it must have been they had L'Shem Shemayim, because why else would this happen over here? To add to this, I saw Sefer She'eris Menachem says that Me'avinu Zorah is the same gematria as David ben Yishai. Me'avinu Zorah is 386, which is David ben Yishai. V'nichyeh, right? V'nichyeh, we will live, means we will bring about the chiyus of the world. We're going to bring about Mashiach and how the world is going to be. The Malaya Omer says, that's why it says Balaila Hu in the next passage. Not Balaila Hahu on that night, but Balaila Hu. Because Yad Al Kes Ka. We know that the hand of a Malik is on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kes Yud He. Kes is missing an Aleph. Normally it should be Chaf Samach Aleph. Kise Elio, right? It should be Kise Yud Ke Vav Ke. An Aleph is missing. Yud He is missing a Vav and a He. Kes Yud He. You're missing an Aleph, a Vav, and a He. That's the word who, hey, vav, aleph. And that's why it says, balayla who, on that night, they were together with their father, who refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu being involved because they were all L'Shem Shemayim. Okay, that's the first opinion. They were L'Shem Shemayim. They mamish did not think anybody else was alive. That's these Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashbam, the Ibn Ezra, and Rashi. That's their opinion. The Malbim is a little bit different, but we're going to skip that for right now. Moshev Zekanim and the Panach Razin. The Moshev Zekanim and the Panach Razin are both Balei Tosfos. We're dealing with the 13th century Tosfos, which those Rishonim are dealing with a totally different way. They did not think the whole world was destroyed. They came from Tzohar and they saw people there. They knew there were other people around. So why in the world did the Bnei Noach do what they did? Why in the world were they together with their father if they knew there were people alive? They knew they were there. Especially if the Malachim just said, Mashchitzim anachnu es hamakom hazeh. We're destroying this place. They knew. So why in the world did they do what they did? Listen to this answer. They thought no one would ever want to marry them. Why would no one ever want to marry them? Because they were from Sodom. And Sodom would be ostracized by everyone from that moment on. You're from Sodom? Well, we got to stay away from you. It's bad luck to marry a Sodomite. We don't want to go anywhere near a Sodomite. Can you imagine this? So they really knew that there were people around. But they thought, no one's going to marry us. So they said, we're not going to do this. So therefore, they were together with their father, L'shem Shamayim, because they really wanted to have children. That, says the Moshe of Zakenu in the Panach Raza, was the thought process of the two daughters. And it was still okay. It was still okay because they still had good thoughts, even though it wasn't the smartest move in the world. That's their opinion. The Raz and Amir says, that's why it says, Lavo Aleinu, right? Talking about Lot being together with him, Lavo Aleinu, there's an extra vav there. The reason why there's an extra vav is to show they wanted to be a shlema, they wanted a marriage, and they knew no one would marry them. Nobody in the land is going to want to marry us. Ish ein ba'aretz Lavo Aleinu. No one in this land is going to want to actually marry us. Therefore, we got to do something to make sure that we can get married again. Unbelievable pshat. You heard this pshat before? You ever heard this? They didn't think anybody would marry them? It's a crazy idea. But that's only the second opinion. The third opinion, and the big one, is from the Sforno. The Baal HaTorim says there's no way they had L'shem Shamayim. There's two times it says the word V'nichi over here because it was a Maisa Behema, and the two girls did not have L'shem Shamayim, but listen to this Sforno. Sforno says they knew there were survivors, but the survivors were far away. Now listen to what he says. They were so far away, they wouldn't be able to travel to marry them. They were in this spot, and they couldn't leave. And not only that, says the Sforno, even those people who were far away, even if they wanted to go to them, they had higher standards. We're too good to marry those people who are outside. There's no one there who's we're willing to marry. Can you imagine that? They had just survived Sodom. They had just gotten into this cave. They had barely gotten out. They lost their mother, and they're there with their father. And they're sitting there, and they said, no one out there is good enough for us. There's no one out there who we're willing to marry except for our father. So they were willing to be together with their father, and that's that. That's how the Sforno puts it. The Chizkuni quotes the Ibn Ezra in the same way. We don't have this Ibn Ezra, at least I couldn't find it. The Chizkuni says they were miyuchasis. They said we're special people, the Benos Lot said. Our father's Lot, our uncle is Avram, our aunt is Sarah. This is who we are. How in the world could you imagine we're going to marry just stomp people off the street? No way. We're not going to do it. It's a strange pshat because they were already engaged in Sodom. So clearly they were ready to marry Sodomim. And they're not okay with marrying anybody else. But according to this pshat, the Sforno and the Chizkuni, and according to the Chizkuni, the Ibn Ezra, they were not willing to marry. Not only that, the Shachal HaTorah, who comes after the Rishon, the Shachal HaTorah is one of the Talmidei Arizal, one of the Talmidei of the Arizal himself. He says they knew Avram survived, and they knew Yishmael survived. But they thought Avram wouldn't be able to give them children, because Avram clearly couldn't have kids. He had a kid with Yishmael, with Hagar, but he clearly was not somebody who was able to have kids. He's too old. So they said, forget about Avram. Avram can't be together with us. They looked at Yishmael. They looked at Yishmael and they said, but Yishmael, who's going to marry him? They were too miyuchas to want to marry Yishmael. They said, who are we going to marry? We can't marry Avram. He's too old. We can't marry Yishmael, right? He's not the right person for us. He's a slave. So who is there? There's just Lot. So they went with Lot because they had no choice. It's just so strange. Avram had just had a kid less than 13 years ago. And yet they thought that's not good enough? That's a strange thing altogether. That's number one. Number two, you're still going to reject Yishmael for your father? You're going to reject Yishmael and say no to your father, no to Yishmael, because you're okay with being together with your father? That's a strange thing altogether. It just seems that Yichus is a strange idea, that that's going to be the problem over here. I don't know, but that's how they put it. That's how the Ibn Ezra, the Chizkuni, and the Sforno put it, that that was the issue over here. Then you get into the issue of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says 100% they thought that other people survived. You know, there's no way that they thought that Uncle Avram Avinu had died. There's no way. So if they thought Uncle Avram was alive, why in the world did they do what they did with Lot and not find Avram Avinu? Why wouldn't they have done it? And here's their thought process. This is a hard one. And I'm not sure I fully get this, but this is a crazy idea. Says the Chassam Sofer, they had Ruach HaKodesh. Remember, these are special ladies, very special ladies. They had Ruach HaKodesh. In this Ruach HaKodesh, they saw through the Ruach HaKodesh that they were going to have special children, Moav and Ammon. But they wondered to themselves, why did both of us have to survive? It must be we're both supposed to have kids. But if we're supposed to have the kids, then why did our father survive? Must be the kids are supposed to come from him. They had no reason why Lot would have survived. They didn't think, they didn't know why they had survived. If they had survived and Lot had survived, then we're not special enough to make it. If we all survived, it must be that the kids are supposed to come from the three of us. See, even though they knew other people were alive, there were people in Tsoar. Avram and Yishmael are still alive. Even though the Gerim are still alive by Avram Avinu. And even though there are people alive throughout the entire world. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu let us survive, it must be to have kids. And it must be through our father Lot. That was their thought process, and that's why they didn't say anything at all to Lot, because Lot didn't have that Ruach HaKodesh. Lot didn't know about it, but they did. It was embarrassing to say to Lot, the only reason you survived was to be the father of our children. So therefore, they didn't say anything at all. They were quiet. I had a mashkiach in Beis Yisrael when I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Rebbe Brazil. Rebbe Brazil came up with a thought that I thought was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He doesn't need my haskama. And I still carry it to this day. In his name, it's one of the best pshatim I've heard on this. You know why they didn't want to marry Avram or Yishmael? Or why they even thought that Avram and Yishmael were dead? Why would you think, if Lot survived, do you think Avram didn't survive? Avram was 100 times greater than Lot. Why in the world did you not think that Avram Avinu had survived if Lot had survived? Here's what happened. Lot all the time used to say, I'm the real guy, and Avram's the fake. Avram is the guy, right, who gets all the fame and all the glory, but it's really me. Lot saw himself become wealthy and thought it was because of himself, not because he was hanging out with Avram Avinu. Lot saw that there were messages, and he heard that Hashem said specifically, take with you Lot. That was the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avram Avinu, and Lot thought, I'm special. I'm the reason why Avram Avinu is getting everything that he had. And you know what happened? He had an argument with Avram Avinu. I want you to remember what the argument was. Do you remember the Roe Mikne Avram and the Roe Mikne Lot? The shepherds of the cattle of Avram, the shepherds of the cattle of Lot. They were arguing with each other. The shepherds of the cattle of Avram, they had muzzles on their mouths because they didn't want to take any of the land. The shepherds of Lot kept their animals unmuzzled, so they would go around eating from the grass, taking from everything. Lot's opinion was that the reason for the world, the whole reason why everybody was out there was because of him. He was the Siba of the entire world. And Avram Avinu didn't feel that way. Avram was humble and said, no, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give me, he'll give me, but I'm not taking from other people. Lot said, everything's here because of me. I'm going to inherit this land. I'm going to be the reason for everything here. I'm going to be the son that Avram Avinu never had. And I'm going to be the future of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is going to come through me, said Lot. Klal Yisrael is going to come through me. That's what he always thought. So Brazil said, it was so influential that when Avram said, I want you to leave, he went to Sodom. Now, Chazal say it's because he had a roving eye. He clearly wanted a riot. He wanted to be around people that were evil. And that's why he went. But I want you to think for a second. You think Avram would let Lot go in that way? Think Avram would allow his brother-in-law and just say, sure, go to Sodom. Go to the worst place on earth. Here's what Lot said. Lot said, I'm going to Sodom to be Makariv them. You, Avram Avinu, are doing it wrong. You're sitting at the crossroads and waiting for them to come to you. I'm going to go to them. I'm going to sit on their campuses. I don't mean to make fun of people that are on campus. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm going to be with the people in the trenches doing what they're doing. I'm going to be around the people of Sodom. I'm going to be a person of Sodom. And from within, I'm going to be Makar of them. From within, I'm going to turn them all around. We know Lot was wrong. We know Lot messed up. We know that this is a huge mistake, and it led to disastrous consequences for not only him, but for his daughters and for everybody that was in Sodom. He was wrong, and Sodom was destroyed possibly because of it. Maybe because he wasn't as good as he thought he was. But this is what he convinced his daughters. So his daughters, Mamish, thought Lot was the greatest of the great. Lot was the Makariv of the world. He was Makariv more people than anybody else out there in the world. This is Lot. Lot's the most special person out there. So when Lot survived, they literally thought Avram Avinu didn't. Avram Avinu is not as good as our father. Avram Avinu is not as great as Lot was. So they looked at it and they said, whatever. Avram, he probably didn't survive. But Lot survived. It's in his chos. Everything's in his chos. And in fact, look at what happened in Tsoar. He davens in Tsoar and he saves the city. The Benos Lot honestly thought that Lot was the greatest person on earth. And the result was that when they survived, they looked at their father and they said, he's the only person who's roy to survive. And that's why they said, we have to be together with him to have children. It's crazy, right? But it was Lot's own gaiva that allowed him to be the person that his daughters thought is the only person to survive. The only person who could have possibly survived. What a crazy idea. But you got to be careful. I've said this story before, but it's an important story to say. Igris Moshe, Chelek Ches, on page 15. This is in the introduction when it goes through stories about Reb Moshe when he was younger and later on when he got a little bit older. It says page 15, there's a story. Reb Moshe used to say this story in order to show how even the regular people in Europe, the regular people that were sitting in Europe, were able to reach a level of Ruach HaKodesh Kimat. They were able to reach a level that nobody in America was able to get to. Listen to this story from Reb Moshe. He said, this happened in the winter of 1922. One of the Balei Batim in his town of Luban got very, very sick. And he called for the Rav, who at the time was Reb Moshe Feinstein. They called for the Rav to come to him, and he wished to tell Reb Moshe the reason for his sickness. He asked Reb Moshe to come so he could tell him the reason for his sickness. The week before had been Parshas Vayera. So during Parshas Vayera, he had asked one of the people next to him how the Benos Lot could have done what they did. And if they did what they did, how were they Zocha to have Mashiach come from them? Because they were together with their father in the middle of a silly assumption. All of a sudden, they're willing to have Mashiach. They were Megala Arias, and they should have been embarrassed about it, but they weren't even embarrassed. They called their kids Moav from my dad. And that allows them to have Mashiach. He was making fun of them a little bit. He said things about them in a condescending way, right? And made people say, like, yeah, it's ridiculous. How could the Benos Lot be Zochet anything? He said the following. He said, that night, this regular balabas, says Reb Moshe in Luban. That night, there appeared to him in a dream two women who looked very, very old. But they were covering their faces and their bodies in the way that you can see Arabs do today with the complete kafiyah, I think it's called. I don't remember what it's called exactly. But the thing that totally covers almost everything. They claimed in the dream that they were the Benos Lot, these two daughters of Lot itself. We don't know what their actual names are. They claimed they were the daughters of Lot. They said they heard his claims in Shemayim. This guy, his claims were heard in Shemayim. And they came from the Olam HaEmes to answer his problems. How they were Zochet to have Mashiach. They said they could have, and they were well known enough, Lot and his daughters well known enough, that they could have left the cave. And when people said, how did you become pregnant? How do you have that children? They could have claimed, well, certainly we weren't with our father. So it must be, it was immaculate conception. Immaculate conception means, like what they say by Yashka, right? That the Christians claim by Yashka that he was born from a god. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them pregnant, and therefore their children were mini-gods. They could have claimed that. And they could have said they're their own little messiahs, going around claiming that they're the greatest people out there. Instead, they purposely called their children Moav from my dad, Ammon from a person of my nation, to show everybody that no. We messed up. It's from our father. It's not immaculate conception. These are no more special than everybody else. They wanted to show people that they were wrong. They were 100% wrong. They were willing to make that claim because they were Zocha to that. They didn't want to be mothers of a Messiah. They didn't want to start their own religion to save themselves embarrassment. They were willing to be embarrassed in Olam Hazeh. Therefore, Hashem allowed for the real Mashiach to come from them. Isn't that a brilliant... That's what the Benos Lot said. They then told him, they told this guy, that he had sinned greatly by speaking about them in such a way, by speaking condescendingly, by saying such things in a bad way, and therefore he's going to be punished with the same punishment as the Meraglim. One of the things that the Medrash says about the Meraglim is that after they were punished, their tongues would blow up in their mouths and would stick out a little bit, almost like a dog panting. Right? And that worms came from their stomachs, that they ended up dying in a horrible, horrible fashion. That happened. For this guy received a similar punishment. His tongue blew up in his mouth. I don't know how he told the story. I would assume it happened afterward or whatever it is. But regardless, he would have a strange sickness from his stomach up, and that he would die with something coming from his mouth. The man finished telling his story and turned to the wall and passed away soon after that. Rav Moshe went around saying he felt the man was telling the truth. And that he told the people this story, to show the greatness of a balabas in Luban, in a small little city in Europe, that a regular guy had a dream like that of the Benos Lot, of the regular Benos Lot. He was Zocha to have them answer his problem, answer his question. That's the greatness of such a person. We're going to end with one last thing. How did they get wine in the cave? How did they bring in wine? Where did the wine come from? Like all of a sudden they were like, oh, let's give our father wine. Nashka v'niyayin. Where'd they get the yayin from? Where'd the wine come from? So Rashi says there happened to be wine in the cave, right? Hashem allowed it to be there because he wanted Moav and Ammon to be born. He knew that the v'no slot were l'shem shamayim, so therefore he allowed it to be there. The Miamloei says Sodom was a very wealthy area. The whole area was extremely wealthy, and the grapes there were beautiful grapes, huge grapes. They had so much wine that their excess wine that they couldn't fit in their houses, they just stored in caves, right, all around the mountain places. So when they went into a cave around there, all the caves were filled with wine. So there were barrels and barrels and barrels. They weren't worried about it being stolen because there was so much of it. There were barrels and barrels and barrels of awesome, unbelievably potent wine throughout all these caves. That's how the Miamloei says it. Sifsei Chachamim says it's learned out from Belailahu. It seems to indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that they had what they needed to make this happen. Hashem was involved, and it was a miracle, and it came in. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says, who is the name of Hashem, as we said before. He was Misayeya in what happened over here. The Medrash Rabbah says, Me'en Olam Haba. In the future world, the mountains will drip with wine. And we'll get the wine from the mountains themselves. Instead of rain coming down the mountains and rivers coming down mountains, there will be wine pouring down from the mountain itself. I have no idea what's going to be in the future, if this counts for us. If we're going to have wine coming from there, it's going to be like Snapple. I have absolutely no idea what's going to be in our future world. But it's going to be that even the mountains drip with wine, and therefore that happened over there as well. And the final answer seems to be from the Be'er Heitev, and this is an awesome, awesome piece. Says Mizrahi, if they didn't have proper intentions, right, then how would Hashem allow this to happen in a miraculous way? It must be that that proves that they had good intentions, right? They obviously had it. Says the Be'er Heitev, not necessarily. They still might have been bad. So why did they get wine in a miraculous way? Listen to this Be'er Heitev. Avram Avinu was totally embarrassed. Why was Avram Avinu embarrassed? Can you imagine what happened afterward? Lot and his two daughters come out, and the two daughters are pregnant, right? With Lot's child, Lot's children, right? They come out, and they call him Moav and Ammon. Do you know how embarrassing that was for Avram? Hey, Avram, we heard about your brother-in-law and what happened with his daughters. Can you imagine that happened to Avram Avinu? There was nothing Avram Avinu could say. If it happened when they were sane and when everything was going well by them and there was nothing wrong, then it was extremely embarrassing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that they were drunk. They were so drunk that they didn't know what they were doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure there was wine there so that there would be an excuse. So Avram Avinu could say back, he wouldn't be as embarrassed. He was drunk. He didn't realize what had happened. It was an onus. The reason why there was wine there was in the schus of Avram Avinu, not necessarily in the schus of the Benos Lot and Lot. It could be that the Benos Lot and Lot were not zocha to have miracles happen for them. It could be they didn't have intentions l'shem shemayim. It was all l'shem znus. But it was in the schus of Avram Avinu, not in anybody else. There's another idea over here brought by the Rabbeinu Bachaya, just as a repeat of what happened before. Obviously, guys, Adam and Chava sinned because of wine. That's one of the opinions, that they sinned because of wine, right? Adam and Chava sinned with wine. And here, Lot and his daughter sinned with wine. Note, Lot and Adam are the same in Gematria. Both are 45. Lot and Adam are related neshama-wise, where Lot was a Gilgal of Adam Arisham. So there is something to this, where Lot sinned with wine by being together with his two daughters, and Adam Arisham sinned with wine from Chava. There's something to this. What that means and how that goes through, there's a Rabbeinu Bechaya over here that goes through a little bit how that goes, their Midas Adin through wine and through what he said, the Midah of Sodom. He goes on, and if you check out the Shachal Torah, he says something as well, but I'm not going to go any further than that. The main point is the Rabbeinu Bechaya itself of what he says behind this. We'll stop at this, guys. Have a great Shabbos.